Hello, my name is Josephine Pembroke and welcome to Radio Gorgeous. Today I'm welcoming onto the show an opera singer turned musical theatre star. She has a wonderful habit of writing one-woman shows to perform, always musical-based. Her last successful show featured Ethel Merman. Today we're talking about her spanking brand new show called Adorable Dora, a tribute to Dora Bryan. Dora was an actress and singer in the second half of the 20th century. She was a character actress with a colourful life. Rosemary Ashe has written and is performing the show. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi. How are you? I'm very well, thank you.
So tell me, why Adorable Dora?
Because all the people I've talked to who knew her and worked with her adored her, and nobody has a bad word to say about her. It's quite incredible. She was very, very loved. And one friend who's called Mark Winter, who's an actor, old friend of mine actually, he suggested the title. He said, everybody adored her, why not? And it works. I think it's perfect for it.
So tell us about, because, you know, she isn't a kind of household name. Can you tell us about her life and why she's so interesting and her work?
Well, she was a household name, of course, back in the 60s and the 70s. What happened was I came in lockdown. I'll just tell you briefly the story. In lockdown, I came across an old cassette of hers and listened to it and thought, I'm going to make this my lockdown project to write a show about her. And it's a fascinating life because she started very young in pantomime when she was 12. Then she went into rep when she was 16. And then she came to London very early on in her early 20s and started making films. Then she was in revue and plays and musicals, TV, radio. She did everything, every form of show business one can think of. She's always popping up on lots of old films if you watch talking pictures and stuff like that. And she became a star in the 50s in a musical called The Water Gypsies. And that led to her being on television. Throughout her life, she had her own show. She was incredibly versatile. And in her later years, in her dotage, she ended up in Absolutely Fabulous, Dinner Ladies and Last of the Summer Wine. So she was going into her 80s.
So she was funny.
She was a funny character actress, quirky. She was a trained dancer. Her big thing was doing the splits. Whenever she could possibly do the splits, she did them. That was her sort of trademark. And if you want to know whether I'm doing the splits, you'll have to come and see the show. but she had this sort of unmistakable voice that was quite, you know, quite coarse in a way. And she was sort of posh northern, but it had quite a sort of edge to it. Which she was recognised for. She was chirpy, she was funny. She was a tiny little thing as well, you know, really tiny, but just bounced about and had this incredible personality.
So apparently she played tarts, is that true?
Yes, I mean, she said herself, oh, I always played tarts and barmaids. Yeah, she did. Yeah, she played a lot of women of easy virtue. That seemed to go with the character, really, of her. I mean, she wasn't like that at all. She was happily married for years. But that seemed to be where she was placed, you know.
Fantastic. So what's your affinity with Dora Bryan?
Well, I've played quite a few tarts and barmaids in my time as well. Being a character, I've always been very much a character actress in my career. Mainly a lot of the shows I've been in, I've always played the secondary female role as opposed to the sort of the love interest. And for me, the secondary roles are always more interesting. They tend to be characters. But I love big personalities, and I wanted people to remember Dora because she was a one-off, really, to have all that versatility and to be able to do all those things. And some people might just think that she did movies and won't know that she did musicals. Other people might remember her from, you know, Hello, Dolly or just The Last of the Summer Wine. So I want to sort of paint the picture of her life.
She even had a hit record, didn't she? Yeah.
She did. All I Want for Christmas is a Beatle. Yeah. She got to number 20 in the charts in 1963.
I listened to it this morning.
It's terrible.
It's
terrible.
I thought it would have a sort of Beatles sound, but it doesn't. It sounds like something from 1950.
Yeah, it's a novelty record, and it was voted the best bad record of 1963.
Oh, brilliant.
But, you know, she was asked to do it. She was asked to do everything, so she just did it.
So tell us about the... Because obviously you're all about music, really, aren't you? Because you're a musical theatre performer. Tell us about the music in the show. What songs are you doing?
Yeah, I just to qualify that, I do actually also do a couple of spoken pieces because she did win a BAFTA for a serious part in A Taste of Honey, which was a very important film, groundbreaking film. So she was a serious actress as well, just to let you know that. The music, well, there's stuff from Hello Dolly, because she, that was the role she loved the most, Dolly Levi. She took over from Mary Martin, the Theatre Royal Drury Lane, and then she did a tour 20 years later. There's things like Life Upon the Wicked Stage from Showboat, Bill from Showboat.
Absolutely.
The song that made her famous was from the show called The Water Gypsies in 1955, and it's called Why Did You Call Me Lily, which is a sort of Liszt song, a patter song. That was the song that sort of turned her into a star overnight, really. What else am I singing? Gosh, I tried to stop and try and think. Some songs from her act, 10 Good Years, which is a Nancy Wilson song. There's a little bit of Sondheim in there. A little bit from Gypsy, the musical, because she did that at Worthing. All sorts of bits and pieces, really.
Fantastic. And who's your director?
My director is Ben Stock, who's a very talented musical theatre performer himself, a brilliant musician and performer, but is also doing quite a lot of directing these days. And he's, you know, he's a young person, but he has an old soul, and he loves all this old sort of material.
Yeah.
And my musical director is Paul Knight, who's played for me for years and years and years, and we work together very much as a team. And Paul doesn't just play the piano, he's an actor too, so he has some lines from the piano and has to do various bits and pieces. So we work very much as a team.
It's great to have someone to sort of bounce off, isn't it?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, it does help. And also, you know, it's a huge thing to memorise this show. You know, I wrote it and then I thought, oh, and then the range of performances, I'm going to learn it now. And fortunately, I mean, with Dora, you know, she was known as Dizzy Dora. And I think I would have license to say, oh, Paul, what's next?
Yeah, that's good. Nice to know.
It's nice to know. I don't want to do that. No. I really don't want to, but I've got that safety net. Because it's you know, you when you do a one-person show, you get into a number or something, and then you think, and you can finish it and go completely blank. So what I do is before each song, I'm talking, and then I go into a song. And I'm talking, and then before each song, I do a sort of checklist in my head of what do I say. As I start the song, I'm thinking, what comes straight after it? And I do a little tick in my head so that I know what comes next.
Yes, because you haven't got the kind of ensemble to kind of...
No, you've got nobody, to help you. You're totally exposed and on your own. I mean, it's from that point of view, it's pretty nerve-wracking. So, and funnily enough, somebody said to me only today, she said, how do you remember it all? And I said, well, you just have to rehearse and rehearse and rehearse and then go over and over and over it so that actually it's what I call on the lips. Mm. So if something goes wrong, it automatically come out with the right thing.
And I think it sort of goes into the body as well, really, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's like when you start the moving and everything, it sort of comes.
That helps, And it's the storytelling. I'm telling the story of her life. Yeah. But before we started rehearsing, I learnt it all because I couldn't sort of learn it. There's such a lot to learn. I couldn't learn it whilst I was being directed. It wouldn't have helped. Mm. So I spent 2 weeks in my living room just going over and over, learning a bit by bit, learning a bit, then going back and learning, adding the next bit. You know, that's how you do it. Yeah. People say, how do you learn these things? You say, well, you spend time, you prepare. It's all about the preparation.
Yeah.
And then you have to make it look easy and trying to make it look spontaneous. I mean, you watch wonderful comedians, you know, they've honed it all. They've, you know, you think of something like Peter Kay, for example, who I'm a huge fan of. He's rehearsed and rehearsed and rehearsed everything he does. Tommy Cooper said they all do it, but they make it look spontaneous.
Yeah, and that's
skill, the art. Isn't
that's
it? A huge skill.
Yeah, yeah,
and
you've
got to be very patient and spend hours doing it.
So you're a sucker for one woman shows because you did Ethel Merman show last week 4 times.
I did. Well, I wrote a show about Ethel Merman about 11 or 12 years ago, which we did quite a lot. And then typical, you know, lockdown sort of, we're coming out of lockdown and I got booked to do 4 performances last week of Ethel Merman. And that was actually quite complicated because on the Thursday night we had to do the full version, which is 2 halves. And then on the Friday and the Saturday we did 3 shows of the 65-minute version.
Oh.
So on Friday night I had to try and remember all the cuts the night before. It was quite jarring, actually. But that was all booked in before Dora happened.
Yeah.
But again, Ethel Merman is an incredible woman. I mean, people need to be reminded about her. Everybody wrote for her. Cole Porter, Jerry Herman, Irving Berlin, Sondheim, Julie Stein, Jerry Herman. And what people don't realise is that so many famous songs. I Got Rhythm, Life is Just a Bowl of Cherry. She was the first person that wrote those songs. She had a 40-year career on Broadway.
Fabulous.
But people, a lot of people don't know who she was anymore, so I want to remind them.
Yeah,
because it
yeah.
was incredible, her career.
So what gave you the idea of, I want to do a one-woman show, you know, one-woman show? What was it that motivated you?
Well, I've been doing cabaret, my own show, for years, which is called The Killer Soprano, which is sort of my own one-woman show, which is a bit about me, but mainly just sort of a collection of nice songs that I like to sing, a lot of humour. Mm. And I got to the point where I thought, well, I'm sort of done with that, really. And it's quite a egotistical thing to do, really, I think, to sort of stand up and say, look at me. And I thought it'd be much more interesting to play a character and also more interesting for the audience. Mm. So that's... And the Ethel Merman thing happened as well, because I was supposed to be doing a production of Gypsy, mm. which fell through. And I was very disappointed.
Because you'd learnt the songs, yeah.
Yes, mm. and then a friend said, he said, I'll write you a show about Ethel Merman. You should do a show about her. He didn't have time to do it, by which time I booked two dates, one at German Street Theatre and one at the Pheasantry. So I had to write it myself. I had to sort of write it in about 2 weeks, I think.
So good for you, because it made you do
made
it. Otherwise
do
you'd
it.
Never have done
yeah.
it. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And then, as I say, last year, because of lockdown, I thought, I've got to do something, because all my work was cancelled. And I found this tape, and I thought, Dora Bryan. I'd thought about doing something about her years and years ago, but never got round to it.
So she's always been there in the back of
yeah,
your
I've
mind.
Always, yeah, I've always liked yeah, her. Yeah, and yeah. and you know, and a lot of the songs I sing in the show, I've sung for years. There's a couple that aren't very well known, and I've done them. And... I think we do. There are some similarities in our characters and personalities.
Yeah. Now I want to say, you say that it's a tribute, isn't it? How can you explain you don't become the person?
Well, I am. I am embodying her.
Okay.
I am being Dora. Mm. In my Ethel Merman show, I'm me, and I tell the story of Ethel, and I use Ethel's voice occasionally to quote her. But in this show, I decided to be Dora Bryan, but at my sort of age. Yeah. Okay.
So looking back.
Looking yeah. back. Mm. And so I'm not doing an impersonation. Mm. I'm giving an impression of her, you know, if you like. But it's very much told as I'm being her.
Well, her most famous thing is her voice. So how did you get around? Can you do a bit of a voice for us?
Oh, gosh. Well, let me think of a bit from the show. Well, I had to change my name, didn't I? I mean, Dora Broadbent. I mean, you can't see it in lights, can you? Dame Dora Broadbent. Doesn't sound right, does it? That's the sort of thing I did.
Brilliant.
So I just found yeah. a place to put it in this sort of... she's got a very much a sort of thing. Mm. And when I first started doing it... It was very difficult because it's very much on the throat. So
yes.
I had to work out how to do it. And also in the mm. songs as well, because mm. I can't suddenly sing in my voice. I've got to do
her voice singing. Yeah.
yeah. yeah. Which slightly, not all the way through, otherwise I think it would be relentless.
Yeah.
You know, the audience
yeah, yeah.
will have, that, their ears will be
that
bleeding.
Voice. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
yeah. So, you know, so it's finding a way. So I've had to work a lot on that. And my singing teacher did say to me the other day, she said, are you actually going to sing anything in a nice voice? I said, well, not really, you know, because Dora didn't see herself as a singer, actually.
No.
She sort of very much as a character actress and the way she delivered the songs. So I can't suddenly become Rosie Ash, you know, because in fact, my director said the other day, you're too much Rosie in this song. There's one particular ballad that I really enjoy singing. He said, no, we've got to know that you're still Dora, you know.
Right.
I said, oh, all right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's tricky. So, yeah, I've had, but, you know, good technique, working on the support, making sure I'm not doing any damage and supporting with my diaphragm.
Fantastic. So I read that you were an opera singer first. That's an unusual route to musical theatre.
I was an opera singer. That's where I started my career, opera singer for many years. I started off...
Many years, yes.
Started off in the chorus of Opera North when I left college. I was there for 3 years and then I got a big break because I was an understudy to a big role called The Queen of the Night in Magic Flute. I had an incredibly high voice then. And I went on. And out of that, I got myself an agent who then put me up for a musical. Well, it's a musical stroke opera called Candide by Leonard Bernstein.
Yes, yes.
Which has a very famous song in it for the soprano called Glitter and Be Gay, which is stratospherically high. I did that in the Edinburgh Festival in 1981 and as a result got myself a theatre agent and then started doing a few musicals, but I was still doing opera at the same time. And my classic one really was that I was in The Boyfriend at the Albury Theatre, as it was, and it's now the Coward Theatre. was in The Boyfriend, and I also had nights off to go to make my debut at English National Opera doing a opera called Arabella. So I did both at the same time. Cameron McIntosh, the producer, was really kind to me and let me have some nights off. So I sort of it's called a crossover artist. I crossed over the road, basically, to do it. I've done a few like that. And then I suppose the culmination really was playing Carlotta, the opera singer in Phantom of the Opera. I was in the original cast of that. So that was being an opera singer in a musical.
Fabulous. Tied everything together, yeah. Didn't it?
But, yeah. Of course, I look back and when I used to sing roles in musicals, I didn't know anything about belting or chesting or anything. I sang in a certain way, and I've had to learn how to adapt my voice.
Yes.
And I'm very grateful for having a classical technique, because it's like, I think, if you learn ballet as a base, you've got that as your base, and then you can do other things on top of it. And it's the same with this. I've always, you know, had a strong technique because of the way I've been taught. And I can do all these other things, sing in these different ways. I mean, I'll never sound contemporary. I could never do pop music, but I don't want to.
No, that's not a problem.
But the other side of the singing is something that's happened. The only other thing that's always happened is, particularly in Cameron McIntosh's shows, even though I was doing big belty numbers, he'd say, can you put a high note in, Rosie? So I've always... had to put a top note in.
Brilliant. So. Just show off that you can do it. Yeah. And can you still sing high?
I can still sing high. Not as high as I was, because... Yeah. Like everything with age,
it drops.
Yeah. I've still got a good B flat, which is plenty high enough.
Fantastic. It's brilliant. So the show is going on a mini tour, isn't it, this summer?
Yes.
You're going to, Bedford Park Festival, German Street Theatre, the Brighton Fringe and the Pheasantry, to name a few.
Yeah, it just sort of happened, really. So the Bedford Park Festival is this Wednesday, the 23rd, at St Michael's and All Saints Church. German Street Theatre is on Sunday. That is sold out. We're doing two performances there. But it can be streamed. They're live streaming both performances, so people can buy tickets to stream it and watch it at 3:30 and 7:45. Then the Brighton Fringe is the 8th and 10th of July, and there are tickets available for that. That's in some outdoor venue called the Oil Shed. I'm really thrilled about that because Dora lived in Brighton for years and years.
So there will be people that hopefully come out the woodwork and say, I knew her.
I hope so. I hope I'll get people there.
Be good for press as well.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping so. Mm. And then the Pheasantry, which is the King's Road, you know, Pizza Express in the King's Road, that's on August the 11th.
Fabulous.
So it's been lovely, because originally I thought, I'll do this and maybe get one performance or something.
Yeah.
But it's you know, it's lovely to have all these performances coming up.
It really is, so you can hone it continually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Wednesday, the Bedford Park one, is sort of the preview, really. Yeah.
I'm coming to that.
It's in the church, so, you know, we have microphones. I think I'll have to slow it down because of the echo. So it's going to be very different to doing it in the theatre, but it'll be a chance to see people's reaction and see how...
What works and doesn't work.
It lasts about, we reckon, 75 minutes straight through.
Okay, great.
And what I also should say is, you know, it's not just the story of her career, it's about her life as well. She had a roller coaster personal life, which I won't go into now. But I mean, when you hear about what happened in her life, it's so classic, actually, of so many famous people had a difficult time personally. But she, you know, work was always her salvation. It was work that always kept her going. For her, the show had to go on.
And it sounds like it's the same for you, Rosemary. Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous. You've been a delight.
It's my absolute
today.
Pleasure. Lovely to meet you, Josephine. Thank you so much.
And for more information and more, rosemaryash.com.
Rosemaryash.com. That's Ash with an E, A-S-H-E. Rosemaryash.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous.